In the second reading today, St. Paul tells Timothy that he is to lay hold, he says, of eternal life to which you were called. You too are called to eternal life. The very purpose of your existence is eternal life. Your top priority, the church tells us, is the salvation of your soul. That is for every last one of us. The whole purpose of our existence is to get to heaven. But each one of us has a choice to make regarding where we are going to spend eternity. And as we see in the gospel reading, there are only the two possibilities. And we have to understand both of those possibilities are eternal. And there is no getting out. No one in heaven wants to get out. No one in hell can get out. As the Lord said, there is a chasm that is between you and us. And no one can come from your side to ours or go from our side to yours. It is just that simple. And so the choices that we make are the ones that are going to bring us to where we're going to spend eternity. Now again, I suspect the fact that you're here, if we took a poll, I would hope that we would have 100% saying, I would rather go to heaven. Praise the Lord. But it's not enough just to say, I'd rather do it. We have to make the choices to get there. Part of that choice, as we recognize in the first reading, when the prophet Amos, well, God speaking through the prophet Amos, says, woe to the complacent in Zion. In other words, these people that have become rather wealthy and their life is fairly easy. But it's not about being wealthy and having an easy life that they're being condemned for. Rather, it's looking out for their own sake while everything is falling down around them. The Lord says, they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. So in other words, society around them, and particularly the practice of their faith, was not happening, and they didn't care. Because the only thing that was important to them was getting more. It was having an easier life, having more material things, not having to do much. Sounds just like America. Not only do we have more and more and more, what really troubles me is that people just don't care. You point something out and what kind of response do you get? Nah. Whatever. Nothing matters. It's interesting that we can look at it and say, you know, we've been killing babies since 1973. We are the pornographic capital of the world, shipping it out all over the world. We are doing lots and lots and lots of evil things. And we can even just look at the last few years. Look at what we've done in other countries with the military. Look at the horrible, horrible things that we're doing. But finally, when gas prices went up to $5 a gallon, now, oh, that was bad. Really. Yeah, it was. Nobody liked it. But put it in context with everything else. We don't care that they're doing all this other stuff, but when it starts to bother me, $5 a gallon for gas, what a ripoff. Now I'm going to get upset. Yeah, so what does it say? Woe to the complacent. They do not care about the collapse of Joseph. How many people in our society don't care about the fact that morals have gone down the drain? In fact, we now have people that are encouraging it. They don't seem to have any problem at all with all kinds of immorality. It's okay to live together before you get married. Oh, you need to contracept. Well, you've got two kids, you need to get fixed, as they say. And they brag about it. And they make fun of people who aren't. We've got everything backwards and upside down and inside out. And we just don't seem to care. So again, these are some things that we need to be looking at. Because which way are we directed for eternity? It's one thing again to say, I want to go to heaven. It's another thing to live it. The Lord has given us the way that we're supposed to live. And as we saw last week with the third commandment, we keep finding ways of skipping around it, tiptoeing around it, tap dancing around it, whatever it is we want to do. We keep finding ways of trying to say why it's okay for me to do things that are wrong. It's not. So we can look at any of the commandments and we can ask those same questions. We keep trying to rationalize and justify, but there is no justification. We're going to have to stand before the Lord one day who has laid all this out. And we're not going to be able to say, but everyone else was doing it. He's going to say, did you know better? It didn't matter that everyone else was doing it. You knew what the truth was. Did you live it? It was more convenient. It was more fun. It was easier, whatever. We've got all the excuses in the world. The Lord's just going to say the cross wasn't convenient and it wasn't easy and it wasn't fun. So what excuse do we have now? That's what it took to save our souls. Are we going to cooperate is the question. When we see how much our soul is worth to God, the real question is, how much is your soul worth to you? You see, what the society and what the devil is doing is it's all about the body. It's all about the pleasures of the body. Brother Donkey, the old body here is going to be thrown in a hole one day. Your soul is going to live forever. And so life isn't about how much pleasure we can get. Life isn't about how easy it can be. Life is about seeking what is right, choosing to live a holy life. Again, going back to what St. Paul said, speaking to Timothy, but just put it to yourself. Man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness, and compete well for the faith. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not looking for more pleasure and ease and convenience, but seeking righteousness and devotion and faith and love and patience and gentleness. We have to look at the charity that we're asked to practice. Things are obviously very different now than they were 2,000 years ago, so it's not that most of us have somebody lying at our door that's starving. But how many people do we know that need help in one form or another? Maybe they don't need food, but maybe they need other kinds of help. How often do we ignore them? How often are we selfish when we could reach out to help another person who truly needs help? There are lots of scammers and so on, obviously. We don't want to deal with those people. But I mean somebody that you know who really needs help. How often do we ignore that? Because once again, it's inconvenient. Because I wanted to go to McDonald's and I wouldn't be able to afford it if I gave this person some money. Whatever it might be. It's So again, when we look at those kinds of things, we listen to the words that our Lord spoke of. And he told us that we're going to have to make a choice. He said, look, if they won't listen to Abraham and Moses, and that was 2,000 years ago, we don't just have Abraham and Moses. We have the 12 apostles. We have the Gospels. We have the New Testament. We have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whose words go in one ear and out the other. Oh, we've heard that how many hundreds of times? We don't need to listen to that. It's the Word of God. Oh, but if Joe Schmo gets on the radio, oh boy, I got to listen to that. But if God speaks, I've heard that before, thanks. I don't need that. Joe Schmo is not going to get you to heaven. God is. What's really important to us? That again becomes the issue. If we are to lay hold of the eternal life to which we are called, that means we have to grasp it, we have to live it, we have to do what we need to do to get there. It is not a guarantee. Yes, you're baptized. That doesn't mean you're automatically going to heaven. We have to live it. Isn't it interesting that in this particular story, that the rich man, Dives as he's known, which is simply the Latin word that means rich, Dives says, send Lazarus to my brothers. And when he says no, because look, they've got Abraham and Moses, he said, no, but if someone comes to them from the dead, then they will listen. So read St. John's Gospel. Who was raised from the dead? A man named Lazarus. Did they listen to him? No, it says that they wanted to put him to death. They didn't want this man, but that was a resuscitation. We have someone who rose from the dead in the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How much does the world listen? Zero. How much do you and I listen? That's where the real question now is going to come. It's not about what the world does. It's about what we do. So yes, we have to pray for the world. Yes, we can do our part to help others to come to Christ. But if we're going to save our own soul first, the question is, what do I do? Am I willing to listen to Moses? Am I willing to listen to the prophets? Am I willing to listen to the apostles and the evangelists? Most of all, am I willing to listen to Jesus, whom I call my Lord and Master, whom I call my Savior and my Redeemer? But for some odd reason, I still think I don't have to listen to him. It doesn't make sense. So if we're going to say that this is who he is, then we need to listen to what our Heavenly Father said. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That's what God himself said. That is the means to salvation. And the Lord made that very clear. There is no other way. No one, he said, comes to the Father except through me. So again, we know that. But it's not a question of whether we know it or not. It's a question of whether we are living it. That's what St. Paul is telling Timothy. He wants us to be able to grasp that eternal life, to be able to choose it and to live it and to put it into practice. So that's the challenge for every one of us. We look at it, and our Lord makes clear again in the gospel that there are only the two options, and we know that. So we need to choose which one we're going to have. One is being complacent, not caring. The other, striving for righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness, and competing well for the faith. Those are our options. And St. Paul makes very clear to Timothy, and consequently then to us as well, what it is that he desires for us. He wants us to go to heaven. Jesus wants us to go to heaven. Everything is set up for us to be able to go to heaven. Now we have to choose it. Not just in a generic way, but in the way that St. Paul laid out, to lay hold of eternal life to which you have been called.